There's a theme of accumulated consequences running through today's stories, whether it's Unicode decisions from 30 years ago showing up as permanent artifacts, or climate patterns that have been building for years now, reaching a new threshold. The Super El Niño story got 266 points and 161 comments, and the forecasts being reported are genuinely beyond the historical envelope.
The severeweather.eu piece is reporting that the 2026 to 2027 El Niño is tracking toward record strength territory by multiple metrics. Sea surface temperature anomalies in the central and eastern Pacific are running substantially above the 1997 to 1998 event, which previously held records for economic damage and weather disruption. The implications for the fall-winter season across North America, Canada, and Europe are the main focus of the forecast discussion.
For the business context here, El Niño events affect agricultural yields, energy demand, insurance claims, and infrastructure costs at a scale that directly moves markets. The 1997 to 1998 event caused an estimated $45 billion in damage globally. If this event is tracking meaningfully stronger, commodity markets, reinsurance pricing, and infrastructure investment decisions are all affected. The HN comment thread is doing the kind of specific regional impact analysis that general news coverage often skips.
The geologic hydrogen story is a fascinating energy counterpoint. IEEE Spectrum is covering research into stimulated geologic hydrogen, essentially using electrical discharges to trigger hydrogen release from iron-rich rock formations. The concept is that iron-bearing minerals react with water to produce hydrogen naturally over geologic time, and you can potentially accelerate and concentrate that process artificially. It's early stage, but the theoretical resource base is enormous.
Natural hydrogen, sometimes called gold hydrogen, has been attracting serious investment attention for 2 years now. And this is one of several approaches to making the resource economically extractable rather than just theoretically available. The comparison that keeps coming up in the energy community is to early shale gas development. The resource was always there. The question was always the extraction technology.
And then there's Henrik Carlson's essay on cultivating mental states where new ideas emerge. 186 points, 46 comments. This is a 2023 piece that resurfaced on HN today, and its timing feels meaningful given how many of the other stories we've covered today touch on creativity, expertise, and what human cognitive work looks like in an era of AI assistance. Carlson's argument draws on the psychology of insight and creative cognition, but grounds it in practical habits, the role of boredom, of incubation, of deliberately creating conditions where the mind can make unexpected connections.
The comment thread connects this to the software engineering fundamentals debate in interesting ways. Several people argue that heavy AI-assisted development, where you're constantly in a loop of prompting and evaluating, may be structurally incompatible with the cognitive conditions Carlson describes as generative. Constant task switching and external stimulus may crowd out the diffuse attention states where genuine insight tends to occur.
That's a hypothesis worth holding carefully, not as a reason to reject AI tools, but as a design consideration for how you integrate them into a working day.
And this brings us to the AI-assisted GPU porting project. A team used AI assistance to port a 250,000-line legacy weather simulation codebase to GPU. The paper on ArcSieve got modest traction at 37 points, but the technical achievement is significant. Legacy scientific codes, Fortran, C, decades of accumulated assumptions baked in, are notoriously resistant to modernization. The AI tooling here didn't replace the engineers. It accelerated the mechanical transformation work enough to make a project that would have taken years feasible in months.
That's exactly the kind of case study that should inform the fundamentals debate. The engineers who did this work needed deep knowledge of GPU architecture, parallel computing patterns, and the scientific domain to validate the ported code. The AI assistance was valuable precisely because the engineers had the expertise to direct and verify it.
I want to dig into a what if we're wrong question before we close this segment, because today's AI stories, the Qwen release, the working memory paper, the multi-agent patterns research, are collectively pointing toward a pretty confident community consensus that open source models are converging on frontier capability and that the AI advantage in cognitive tasks is well established. I think that consensus deserves some stress testing.
What's the strongest version of the counterargument?
The core assumption being made across most of these stories is that benchmark performance and community enthusiasm for open source models are tracking something real about capability. But there's a persistent question about whether the tasks on which open models are performing well, coding benchmarks, mathematical reasoning tests, instruction following, are the tasks that actually matter for the applications people claim to be building. The gap between performs well on MMLU and is useful for running a business process autonomously is substantial and not well measured.
And there's a specific assumption embedded in the working memory argument that I'd push back on. The claim is that AI's larger effective working memory is a genuine cognitive advantage. But working memory in humans isn't just storage capacity. It's also prioritization, relevance weighting, and the ability to know what to ignore. A transformer with a 200,000 token context window holds everything equally unless explicitly prompted to weight things differently. Humans with terrible working memory capacity can still make good decisions because they're very good at knowing what to forget.
That's the point. I think the Qwen community enthusiasm might be underweighting. Capability on tasks where more context is straightforwardly useful, code completion, document summarization, long-form analysis, is real. But the tasks where human expertise really earns its keep are often the ones where you have to make principled decisions about what to ignore. That's not what these models are being benchmarked on.
So if we're wrong, if the open source is catching up and AI working memory is a genuine advantage consensus is overstated, what would we watch for? A few signals. Deployment failure rates in production systems versus benchmark performance would start diverging visibly. The last mile gap between a capable demo and a reliable autonomous process would stay stubbornly wide, even as benchmarks improve. And we'd see continued demand for human expertise in exactly the domains where models score highest on benchmarks, because the benchmark tasks aren't the whole job.
Keep an eye on that production versus benchmark gap. If it narrows over the next 6 months, the consensus is tracking something real. If it stays wide, the models are getting better at tests without getting better at the underlying thing the tests were supposed to measure.